Kid Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
Welcome back.
When we gonna start to see from someone else's eyes?
Chappelle's SNL monologue was kinda interesting too. Hint to, you know, I don't know. It's interesting. Interesting stuff. Speaking of a shift in the winds, maybe a shift, maybe not. But, you know, when you start, you know, how did he put it? I've never seen it go well. People begin with two words that don't get put together. In successful careers, the and Jews. So that's interesting. It is, you know, and that obviously feeds into the sort of conspiratorial tropes that circulate. But it's bigger than that. Much, much bigger than that. And so, you know, maybe this is the point where we... Let me just finish the thought on John Stossel real quick and the grain scam. It's, you know, speaking of the shift, for whatever reason, I think it's interesting that the latest Stossel entry has been viewed how many times? 759,000, which is, I think it sort of peaked out around 750, 750,000 views versus one of the previous installments, which I mentioned, the Manhattan Institute's The Green New Deal's Bad Science, which was, you know, John Stossel and Mark Mills again and James Miggs, in which Mills and Stossel echo the point of the magical thinking of an all-renewable energy future, so-called. So, you know, that was published April 2019, had only about 236,000 views versus three times that many in under 2 weeks on Stossel's most recent entry. So, you know, this sort of calls to mind Malcolm X reminding us, don't let your enemy define terms. And so the psychological warfare that's going on, when we hear from the major networks that, you know, this is what you think, this is what you believe, the constant bombarding of that kind of messaging, best way to, you know, the perhaps the best defense against that is just to, as Howard Zinn said, disabuse yourself of it. And so there's that. Before we continue, I didn't mention at the beginning of the first hour, but multitasking is bad for radio. There is a book drive, perhaps you've heard. The John Stadmiller book drive is what we're calling it. RBN is conducting an ongoing book drive that began November 7 and will continue through January 8. It's a weekly book, you enter to win the weekly drawing of a book previously owned by John Stadmiller himself. Donations of $100 or more will provide the donor with an opportunity to receive one of these books previously owned by John Stadmiller. There's more information on the website, republicbroadcasting.org. Last week's book was two books, John Stadmiller and Tex Mars, Circle of Intrigue. And so in which, you know, for example, mentioned on the back cover, Tex Mars says, 10 unseen men rule the world. Remember when Joe Kennedy said 50, and that's probably a high number? Tex Mars said 10. And so two winners. I am not sure if those winners were previously announced, but Tyler from North Canton, Ohio, and Robert are the winners of those two copies of Tex Mars' Circle of Intrigue. So congratulations to the winners. And this week's book is Seeds of Fire by Gordon Thomas, China and the Story Behind the Attack on America. And this idea, you know, one of the nuanced points of clarification I would offer is that, you know, Israel and China are not so much stealing secrets as they are being given. Those secrets are shared, which gets back into the whole Whitney Webb discussion and so on. There's other interesting stuff that you can see over at republicbroadcasting.org. A lot of the everything old is new again kind of stuff. The Secrets of Oz, what's going on there? We've talked about that in the past. Republished yesterday. Haven't talked about Griffin's Red Pill Expo. The Secrets of Oz, you know, again, speaking of the Theosophists, L. Frank Baum is sort of revered in the Theosophical community, and people subjected to the, I would call it serial or ritual abuse of the annual broadcasting of the Secrets of Oz, or the Wizard of Oz. Why do we have to be subjected to that every year? Why is that played, do you suppose? It's a curious thing. It's trauma. It's very traumatic for many people. And, you know, this is supposedly a kid's movie. It's not really. We've discussed, you know, how politically rooted it actually is. And there are deep mystical, esoteric concepts that are explored in the movie, which is why the Theosophists think that Baum was so fantastic. If you go on, what is it, Theosophy Wiki or whatever it is, the website, you'll find L. Frank Baum and all kinds of information there. So that's what it is. Speaking of everything old is new again, the Money Masters reposted yesterday on republicbroadcasting.org, which is an excellent expose from years ago. And something that everyone should know. This is, you know, this is not a new system. What are the implications? Well, we're dealing with the climactic final throes of the Bretton Woods Agreement and the Marshall Plan that gave it teeth, as the bankers tell us. And now they're supposed to be, according to the powers that shouldn't be, a new Bretton Woods and a new Marshall Plan, right? That's interesting. If you're not familiar, everybody should be familiar. I agree with John Adams. You know, all the perplexities, confusions, and distress in America arise from not from want of honor or virtue or from defects in their constitution or confederation, so much as downright ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation. Why is it important? Because there is hijinks afoot that allows the perpetrators of state crimes to basically force by intrigue the you know, those who can least afford it and the naive and the unwitting to foot the bill for said state crimes. That's really what it is in a nutshell. To underwrite their own enslavement and the enslavement of others around the world. Give a man a gun and he can rob a bank. Give a man a bank and, well, we know the rest. So interesting stuff over at republicbroadcasting.org. Back to this other stuff. I have written a few things. There's the archive from Friday's broadcast, which I think, you know, I should publish. They have finally got that squared away. But it's interesting that after I wrote that, part of it was, you know, there's a section which I titled in Friday's archive, The Thinkable Unthinkable, which obviously points to Julian Huxley, you know, saying that it will be important for UNESCO to see that the eugenic problem is examined with the greatest care and that the public mind is informed of the issues at stake so that much that is now unthinkable may at least become thinkable. And Whitney Webb alluded to that in her Glenn Beck interview. So these three things go together. Last Friday's archive and these two other things that I need to finish and publish. One I'm calling the eucatastrophe of Western esotericism. Eucatastrophe is a portmanteau. I would really call it a neologism coined by Tolkien. And, you know, it's one of those things. I remember talking about this years and years ago when Zbigniew Brzezinski made reference to the term neologism, and in, you know, classic Brzezinski sort of fashion, he was very cryptic and duplicitous, I would say, in exactly what he meant in using the word neologism. It's a neologism. Okay, well, are you coining a term? Are you schizophrenic? What's going on here? Or is it both? I think it's both. And I think that's what I said. I said something to the effect years ago that basically he's saying, well, it means this for us, but it's supposed to mean that for you. That's kind of what he was getting at when he used the word neologism. So that to me is what the word eucatastrophe represents. And if you listen to Tolkien in any of his interviews, I get a sense of glibness that seems to preclude the things that people want to ascribe to him. Again, this is the kind of revisionism that allows Donald Trump to be go from, you know, sinner to saint overnight. The men in black, you know, flashy thing. So we need to get to what I'm talking about. Anyway, these two pieces, Eucatastrophe of Western Esotericism, is different than the title may seem to indicate. And it's really just a list of names, actually, for people to investigate, including, you know, folks like Lyman Frank Baum and Clive Staples Lewis and, you know, Tolkien and Rowling and Lovecraft and George MacDonald and Mark Twain and, you know, all kinds of folks. Roald Dahl, what's he doing writing children's books? And all of the, you know, counterculture folks. I mean, obviously you have some people have noted the curious history of, you know, counterculture folks like, oh, what's his name? Can't think of his name right now. Kerouac, for example, and others. But it's interesting, these folks, these storytellers, what is going on here? Philosopher, kings, storytellers, romantics, mystics, what is there? Is there more here than meets the eye? And so I began with the actually the Wicker Man and Christopher Lee in his interview with you know, where he discusses kind of the backstory and says it's a wonderful movie. It's an awful movie. There's nothing wonderful about it. It's grotesque and hideous. But Christopher Lee thinks it's fantastic, and so that, I think, is informative. So The Wicker Man and, you know, Burning Man and Guy Fawkes Night, speaking of Guy Fawkes, and the ensemble of characters. Once you start going down that rabbit hole and you bump into, you know, James George Frazier and his The Golden Bough and Thomas Bulfinch's mythology and so on, you quickly arrive at very powerful, influential folks, you know, from Ray Girard to Jacques Ellul to Peter Thiel. This is an ideological thread that's been very influential. And I would say that the same, you know, Peter Thiel says he's a Christian. Whitney Webb says she's a Christian. Who decides? This is a very esoteric, mystical brand of so-called Christian, you know, Christianity, which I would say is not. It is entirely not Christianity at all. So that, you know, Friday's Archive, this piece, The Eucatastrophe of Western Esotericism, and then this other thing that I'm calling Hoodwinked, The Hoodwinked Christian. I need to publish this. And, you know, a little further down the rabbit hole, what is the significance of the term hoodwink? Glenn, is it Glenn or is it Lark and I that discussed that? It was Glenn, right? So, a little further down the rabbit hole, is there something going on here that maybe, you know, more than meets the eye? I think so. And these folks who call themselves Christians but subscribe to some kind of Eastern mystical theosophical concept of God, some kind of somewhere between Spinoza and Swedenborg, I think they need to pick up any copy of the Bible. Back to the discussion of translations, we could get into that, but I think any copy sooner than later, and then start exploring for yourself and find for yourself if there are any issues. I think that's probably the best answer. As I said recently, not to, you know, get on a kick, but if you know, for somebody, the thing to do these days is, you know, we always want to institutionalize something. That's kind of in our nature. We don't want to go to God and be completely surrendered to Him. That's just not characteristic of man's nature. So you have examples, you know, since you know, and the subject of faith is interesting in this context and discussion, since faith requires complete, constant, and total reliance on God. That's not man's characteristic nature in his flesh. He wants to institutionalize things. The dogmas feel good. Having someone as a buffer between us and God, hey, that's fantastic. So instead of reading someone else's book, why not, you know, read God's book and then co-author your own with Him, so to speak, and explore and discover the things that He has for each one of us individually. Stick around. We'll be right back.
In foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction. A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
My friend, yes, feel as they're appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, they don't want that use me stuff. You use me up until you use me up, my brother.
Welcome back. I think what I was thinking of is Dennis Miller, America 180, and there is a segment published on the Comedy Dynamics YouTube channel, We're Not Allowed to Do Anything Anymore. I think that's where he talks about I think it was that special that he was talking about maybe we'll play that clip again. This is, you know, these things are filled with language. What happened? You know, why do we have to have language in everything that is degenerative? And whatever. Let's go to the phones. Chris in Virginia, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, Chris, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. That's been a great show so far. I can't wait to hear the Glenn Beck clip. And I called you back in 2020 and was just kind of hopeless about stuff going on, you know, in the world and our country and everything like that. And we discussed, you just kind of helped me out a little bit spiritually. And then now fast forward to today, and I was a big Bannon listener, huge. And now a lot of the stuff I'm just turning off, including I went over to Bannon this morning, and it's interesting that you'll find this interesting is he's literally making remarks about people that have given up on the country and telling them don't watch my show. And that's, I really feel a lot of people are done. And I'm kind of one of them, I think. And Tor, I don't even know if I want to vote again. But anyway, so what is it? What is it now? Is it just our faith in God pretty much that we have?
Well,
truth?
You know, again, having your enemy define terms is problematic, but you know, my first question when it comes to Bannon is, I think it's interesting that, you know, there's, we still have Steve Bannon, we still have Tucker Carlson, but we don't have Andrew Breitbart. So that's curious.
Love Tucker. Didn't want to interrupt your thought, but I said I love Tucker, though. I think he's the real deal.
Well, there, you know, there's reason to suspect otherwise, that's for sure.
Well, maybe you can expound upon that at some point. But he is putting truth out.
Well, do a search. I mean, maybe the place to start on that is, you know, truth is an interesting discussion. In Matthew 4, you know, one of the things that I mentioned a lot, as I'm sure you know, is that the devil quoted scripture to Jesus. He quoted Psalm 91, is what we call it now. You know, we got the chapters and verses in the 1500s. So, you know, originally that wasn't there. But what we call Psalm 91, the devil quoted to Jesus. And so, you know, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus says, I am the truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, so he is the truth. The Word is truth. But the devil quoted Psalm 91, so what do we do with that? But then in John 8, in that same discussion, that same context, you know, Jesus says that he is a liar and the father of lies, and there is no truth in him. So what's going on there? You know, in this confrontation, what I mean by the same context is in John 8 when Jesus is, when he says, you know, to the Jews who are believing in him, as it says, if you continue in my word, then you will be my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's a four-part conditional statement. It's not just the truth will set you free. There are conditions. If you continue in my word, then you will be my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So how is it that we can make that, we can see that, and that's true, but then he says the devil is a liar and the father of lies, even though he quoted Psalm 91. What is missing here?
What is Psalm 91? Again?
Psalm 91 is Psalm 91.
Right. Could you recite it? What the devil quoted?
I would encourage folks to read and compare. The point is that there's context that's misappropriated. And what the devil is encouraging Jesus to do is the battle that we face today. You know, it's that meta schematizo that I've been talking about, meta and schema, which are the abstraction, where now if I misappropriate context, then I can say it means whatever I want it to mean, and I can misappropriate it, even though I'm using the same words. We're headed into a break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Welcome back. Okay. So, Chris, You know, I think I'm going to leave it for now at the people should investigate for themselves. The context that gets misappropriated is the big issue. And so you have, you know, theosophists and Swedenborgians and Spinozans and, you know, esotericists quoting the Bible, misappropriated. And, you know, for that matter, there's all of the, you know, the charlatans. There are, you know, the new apostolic reformation stuff, the charismatic Pentecostal word of faith, blah, blah, blah. What is, you know, what is the context? And it's really simple. You know, I think it's a Genesis 3:5 context that's misappropriated, basically. Genesis 3:5 and, you know, Isaiah 14 kind of stuff. Elevating man when the Bible tells us we're supposed to humble ourselves. So I'm going to leave it at that. And, okay. You know, to your question about where are we at, you know, again, who's defining terms? If my enemy's defining terms, I don't think I'm going to listen to that. I think, you know, part of what I was saying in the shift in the winds is I think that there are folks who are sort of stabilizing, so to speak. I would call it, you know, what I'm going to call it today is there are a number of things like post-COVID eudaimonia, basically. Tim Robbins' apology that Jimmy Dore mentioned, the situation in New York where the judge, you know, the Castle Report has a good article on that, October 28th, the New York Supreme Court essentially saying COVID was apparently all about compliance based on what you're saying now. Again, Jimmy Dore talked about that recently. Joe Rogan proven right, which Jimmy Dore mentioned. The Vax Theater performance by Trudeau. You know, just some things that are happening that have people kind of going, now hold on a second. And not a reactionary response, but again, a sort of, you know, a sort of what I would call eudaimonia that is... I would say there's something uncharacteristic about it. And so what do we do? You know, there is the impetus that wants to divide us and conquer us, the clash of civilizations kind of thing, you know, that has in its wings things like the CONCON, the Constitutional Convention, and the COWS, the Constitution or the Convention of Western States, and everybody's talking about seceding and can we all get along? I don't, you know, some people say, no, I'm not hopeful. And, you know, what's the point anyway? Speaking of Dennis Miller, I think he kind of holds that view. And so there is that, but there are folks who are generally concerned and not in a reactionary way, but are sort of saying, hold on a second, let's keep our wits about us. And so that's interesting. I think it depends on who you listen to. But speaking of the you know, the heart of the question, it gets right to the clip that I want to play of Whitney Webb and Glenn Beck and what they said. And people who don't know where they stand on things are the way that Whitney Webb put it, you know, they're easier to control.
Thanks, Chris. I'll listen to that clip. I look forward to it, sir.
Thank you.
All right, buddy.
And so, you know, it's ironic. This is why I want to play this clip. You know, it's ironic that they're having this discussion when they each, according to what is discussed anyway, if we can take what is said in the interview, Whitney Webb and Glenn Beck, at face value. The reason you have to get rid of the Bible is because you have people who, you know, who actually read the Bible, not someone's book. Again, the point of what I was saying about this is if you read someone's book, great. You know, maybe there's something interesting in that. But you know what? There was the best of those kinds of books, you know, if we want to call them self-help or whatever, the most enlightened or whatever, in this particular context, you know, life, betterment, improvement, or whatever, they come from not a cybernetic contingent, but a, hey, you know, like I've mentioned Daryl and Tracy Strawberry's book, The Imperfect Marriage. they say, hey, we got together and, you know, God was changing me. And then, you know, the other one says God was changing me and great things happen. And as a result, here's a book that may help change lives. This was our journey. And great, that was their journey. You have your own. I have my own. And it's interesting, you know, while we're maybe trying to be helpful to one another, that we're going to leave some breadcrumbs behind for each other. At the same time, who do we think we are? You know, do we think that somehow we are? And it's not, this is not to say that people start by saying, hey, let's do this bad thing. But, you know, by the same token, Peter is admonished during the Transfiguration for trying to institutionalize something. You're going to make a dead thing while you have the living God right there within arm's reach. You're going to make a dead thing. You're communing with God incarnate, and you're going to build a tabernacle. So, you know, it wasn't that he was trying to do a bad thing. It was just not well thought through. And so I think that happens a lot. If we were more inclined to just have our own experience, to go up like Moses did on Mount Sinai and commune with God ourselves, that changes everything. Those are the kinds of people that they're talking about, you know, that Whitney Webb is describing in the interview, for example. And they're not those people. And I think that one of the reasons this interview is popular, 1 million views published a week ago, is because it's the same apostate germ that's in there. Can Satan cast out Satan? No, actually, this, you know, it's all same team, whether they intend it or not, whether they realize it or not, same team. Basically, that's been the whole point of the last several weeks of broadcasts, is if you think your opposition, you know, what is the ultimate conspiracy that's going on here? There is a central plan. What is that? What is the purpose of it? What's really going on here? World domination, you know, a one world government, one world currency, all that stuff. I mean, this is all kind of old news, but for what purpose? What is really going on here? If not, right back to Genesis chapter 11. And if I'm right about my speculation, my conjecture on what they're discussing as Christianity, which is entirely not, then we are headed for Genesis 6:5, if that's true. Going off the rails and over the cliff of of Romans chapter 1. So let me put it this way. We need to play the clip. We should probably just do that real quick. While I get that ready, can we play the Dennis Miller thing? Let me see. From 2:09 to, what is it, the 3-minute mark? 2:09 to 3 minutes. You do that, please.
By the way, if it is getting hotter, who's going to fix it? The A-team, known as Mankind? You've been to a mall lately? I can't believe what people wear out of the house. Trust me, the hoi polloi are going to be too busy to fix global warming. They already have a lot on their paper plates. What with Facebooking and texting and Instagramming and tweeting. You know, never have lives less lived been more chronicled. If only Lewis and Clark had annotated their days this assiduously.
There you go. So that's what I was thinking of, and it is a provocative observation from Dennis Miller, as always. So this bit, I want to play this. It's important. How elites will create a new class of slaves. Whitney Webb, the Glenn Beck podcast, episode 162. Again, this, you know, I mean, you have all of these folks, man. It's like layers of the onion. Who's who in the zoo? And what are we really talking about? And I'm alluding to the Vody Bachum interview the week prior, episode 161 of Glenn Beck's podcast. So I'm going to give you just a little excerpt of what I'm talking about. This, you know, what is, you know, so-called Christianity, which, you know, according to God, is not. So if we're ready with that, can we do that, please?
Me and my family, self-sufficient, come what may, which in my case included like investing in land. So I'm not renting. I own where I live. I have enough land to produce what my family mm-hmm. needs in terms of food, stocking up on things that I can't produce, you know, things like that. That's where my money is personally going. But I am not in the business of telling people, you know, giving financial advice beyond
Sure.
But, you know, if the goal is to have develop parallel systems so we're not dependent on the systems of the people trying to enslave us, you know, whatever you think is a good way to get from point A to point B, you know, that's probably where your money should be going. If Bitcoin's a part of that, if you feel that way, good for you. And if not, you know, good for you too. I think ultimately what we need to do is try and create something so that we can be resilient and not have to, I mean, because the system is just so unacceptable. I mean, it's really not just in it's not just against freedom and all sorts of other values, right? It's just, it's against nature. It's against life, really. And so, I mean, if you're going to support that, you know, I think people have to realize the consequences that come with that and exactly what it means when you are willing to give yourself over to that kind of system, the implications of that. And I think a lot of people don't really realize that or take the time to think about it. And I think they should.
Are you God-driven? Is God a center of you?
Yeah, but I tend to think of maybe God differently than most Christians. I don't really see it as a person or as a man. I see it as maybe the universe or the creative force,
right.
You know, the energy that
I
drives
all
life. I can
go with George Lucas and the Force. I mean,
right.
It's the same
There's a lot
principle.
Of different ways, yeah. You know, to look at it. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, if you're looking at humanity, what do you like about humanity? It's all the creativity. Mm-hmm. It's the vivaciousness. You know, that's the stuff that I think we're fighting for. And, you know, a lot of the guys behind this want to eliminate that. I think a lot of transhumanism is aimed at creating like a drone-like workforce that will never be able to challenge their working conditions or ask for a bigger piece of the pie. And
or
it's amazing to me that more people on the left don't see that if they're all about workers' rights okay. and unionizing. All right, you have a chip in your brain.
Right?
How's the...
You caught it. We're talking about the Force. That's interesting because that's the god of theosophy. That's the god of Swedenborg and Spinoza. How do you suppose that works out? And more specifically, well, you know, as I pointed out, you know, Land of the Gods is recently republished, Blavatsky's book. And, you know, the way it's billed, Elvis Presley and Oprah Winfrey, Mahatma Gandhi and the Dalai Lama, Albert Einstein and Nikola Tesla, Harry Potter and Star Wars. What do they have in common? Blavatsky's influence, indirectly or directly influenced by Blavatsky. Well, apparently Whitney Webb and Glenn Beck are both indirectly or directly influenced by Blavatsky, whether they've read, you know, ISIS Unveiled, for example, or what, that's the influence, this theosophical Swedenborgian. Well, you know, I like to lean into the good stuff. Here's a question. And again, this is not to be a Sunday morning thing. This is just an observation. You think God is the universe. Now, the God of the Bible, you call yourself a Christian and you think that, you know, that is God, even though he is. How is the universe issuing the Ten Commandments, for example? How is that possible? He is local. He is knowable. He wants to know us. Imagine that local, knowable God who wants us to cry out to him, Abba, Father, who sends his, you know, Son, God in the flesh, to, you know, there's a separation between us and him, and he sends his only begotten Son, you know, John 3:16 kind of thing, and, you know, only to have us deny him and say, well, you know, I think the universe is God. How would you feel about that? Would that be fantastic in your opinion? You make this tremendous sacrifice out of love, and they don't even want to call you by name. They want to deny your very existence, let alone the sacrifice that was made, you know, on our behalf. And you know, this is not a proselytizing. It's just kind of a, I mean, think about it in that context. It frames it in a whole different light, doesn't it? And so this is the front lines of the battle that I've been talking about, that is the Western esotericism that has crept in. It's everywhere. And the point is, everything that Whitney Webb talked about, that, you know, she and Glenn Beck talked about, everything that's in her book, I mean, that stuff's all relevant. Very relevant. The tyranny, the techno-feudalism, all of this stuff is real. But the front lines of the battle, she even mentions, I think it's energetic and spiritual. That's ironic. Because it is. And it's very spiritual in nature. And if you can get rid of God, obviously, you know, so part of the point that I make in this piece that I wrote, the hoodwinked Christian, this kind of dogma, this kind of I'm going to define terms, which includes, you know, for that matter, dispensationalism, premillennialism, pre-trib rapture kind of stuff, and what, you know, Whitney Webb and Glenn Beck are talking about, it short-circuits the Christian prayer warrior. It preempts faith, namely the need for it and urgency, particularly in the case of pre-trib rapture. But if you're praying to the universe, when you there is a local, knowable God who wants you to cry out to him, Abba, Father, but you're praying to the universe or something, are those prayers answered, or are you perhaps provoking wrath? You're certainly not, you know, fighting the good fight. So if it is a spiritual battle, as Whitney Webb portends, then you've been taken off the battlefield. You've been effectively neutralized. Or worse, you're provoking wrath. Anyway, something to think about. Back to the phones, Rhonda in Missouri. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Rhonda.
Okay, so you were talking about climate in the beginning, and did you hear about the elite or something? I don't know. I couldn't find anything, but they went to Mount Hermon and are collecting like 10 new commandments for climate change.
No, but I'm not surprised. Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we always know that they're trying to lower the fossil fuel situation. But what about that guy that...
Allegedly.
We know that they want power, control of everything, but they're lying because they... Remember the guy that Stanley Meyer that built that car that worked on water?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many times has that been done? Many times.
Yeah, he spent 20 years of his life, and then he died. And then I'm looking at an article, The Mysterious Death of Stanley Meyer in His Water-Powered Car.
Yep.
And if they really cared about the environment, they would go to water. Because, I mean, instead of pulling up to a gas station, you have a water station, like, with a hose and water, you know, and it would be essentially free. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then, and it's everywhere, and it's not, you don't have to process it or anything. Second thing is,
Telling sound bites that, you know, most revealing, again, I think of, you know, Ursula von der Leyen saying when she was, you know, asked in the interview with, what's her name? I want to say Sarah Kelly, the Deutsche Welle reporter. Do you think since the you know, COVID is an existential threat, should the vaccine belong to humanity? And, you know, in a cagey sort of indirect way, Ursula von der Leyen says no. She says we have enough stakeholders. You know, we have all these people. So that's why people should have access. It's all about money and power and control.
Right. And then they wouldn't they're the ones polluting the earth. Good grief.
Right. Right.
They're the ones that make the products. They're the ones that...
Whitney Webb mentions the Club of Rome in that interview, and people need to understand, mankind is the threat that we're trying... That's the existential threat that man faces himself, according to the Club of Rome. And that's the real agenda, which is why none of this makes sense. Everything that John Stossel says about the green nonsense is true. You know, as long as you drive your new electric car over 100,000 miles, okay, now we get to... parity, where maybe there's a benefit, net benefit to the so-called, you know, environment. And Whitney Webb saying, why aren't we planting more trees? How was the Dust Bowl created, by the way? Are wind farms going to create another Dust Bowl? But, you know, Bill Gates says we shouldn't plant trees. That's just ridiculous. Why would we do that?
Yeah, and when I was in school, I learned the truth as far as, like, the exchange between people and plants. So, you know, they...
Isn't it a wonderful symbiosis there?
Yeah. I mean,
we need oxygen. They need carbon dioxide.
We give them carbon dioxide.
What a concept, huh?
Right. So, I mean, I don't know what's in the books right now. As far as learning goes, probably not too much.
yeah.
But, seriously, they wouldn't... you know, they have to put a chemical in to patent the product for a medicine. They could just let it be. Let it be, because, you know, that's the active ingredient is most likely the natural ingredient, you know? I'm sure
it
is.
Well, again, you know, the more one reads the Bible, the more revealing these times are. You read about these times, I think, for example, in Revelation chapter 18. But you also see the provocative nature of the character of the shiny, flashy, fallen one in Ezekiel 28. And the abundance of his trade and the unrighteousness of his trade, again, that's reflected in Revelation 18. And there are those who seem to subscribe to the same pathological nature, which I think is why Jesus said what he said about, you know, the camel and all that kind of stuff. That'll do it for today's broadcast. Thank you, Rhonda.
All right, bye.
Lynn, sorry we missed you. Kathleen, same thing. I hope it was informative, folks. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.